it's a great pleasure to be here today. For us, this is not the final conference only. We still have a lot of work to do. The project runs for a few more months, and we have to finish part of the analysis, the more advanced analysis, and also to prepare all the publications, which is the most important or a very important outcome of this project, and also to finish the appraisal scheme. But it is a great day today to be here. It is a great day because we have had a lot of fun in this time, and also, as you will see, a lot of work. What I'm going to present to you is just to present the context of the Duke study, who we are, the objectives and our scientific framework, which you will see is not an easy framework. We have to go through that a little bit detail and make a small overview on the methods and the recruitment and the data we have for the analysis. First of all, I wanted to say that I'm not alone in this business, and Oliver Gronin has made a great job as a co-coordinator of this project. We have done it together, and I wanted to thank him at this time, at the beginning of this project, because that has been a teamwork for all of us. So I think it's a great pleasure to have him, and I'm also talking on his behalf in this presentation. As you will see, we have a nice list of partners here. Is it seen? Can you see it? It's working, but perhaps not so strong. Anyway, we have a nice list of partners where we have people from all over Europe, and you will also discover a university in the United States at UCLA. That was a very nice collaboration we were able to establish together, and we have this set of academic medical centers both in the Netherlands, in England, in Denmark, in Poland, in Germany, in Belgium, and in the United States. But we had the fortune to have something that was as important as the partners, which was a nice group of country coordinators who made this happen in the field test. And we had these groups you have seen here, both in the Czech Republic, England, France, Germany, Poland, Portugal, Spain, and Turkey, who made this happen and collected the data. So we are extremely grateful to these country coordinators, and as you will be hearing all the day, because they make a terrific job on this project. As Agnieszka Dawelczewicz has said, there has been a substantial amount of research in the last 30 years about quality, and considerable progress on developing measures and tools, but still there is a big debate on how to accelerate quality and whether these quality projects or systems that we are embedding in the hospitals do have any relationship with patient-level outcomes. So this is an area we wanted to face in this project. There has been some research also in this area. So I can explain that. The justification of this project was that there was a very few overviews of European results at European level. We do not have guidance on how to develop the quality systems in Europe, so we thought that perhaps we could help on developing this guidance. And we also had, I think we thought, it was important to have also a huge baseline idea of how the quality is developed in some given countries. So that was the justification for the project. The overall objective of the project I had is to test whether organizational quality improvement culture, so we have organizational quality improvement culture and professionals and patients' involvement in quality, had any relation what is happening in the world, what is happening at patient level. Does quality and the hospital management in a broad idea has something to do with the clinical effectiveness and the patient perceived outcomes that they receive? And that is the huge question that we have always facing through a different conferences and groups, and we wanted to study this. So our our specific research question was, are we able to develop a classification model for quality organization? Can we say that an organization is more or less developed regarding their quality development? Can we say if there is any association between the quality systems you had at hospital level and the culture of the hospital, the professional involvement and the patient empowerment in the same, in the, that same hospital? Do we know whether these quality systems developed at hospital and departmental level had any relationship with patient outcomes, both in terms of effectiveness, clinical management, or in terms of patient perception of care? And do we know how external mechanisms that we have, contracts, governmental pressure, accreditation, ISO certification, had something to do with the development of the quality systems at hospital level? And the fifth one is, can we summarize these findings in an easy way that can be used by policymakers and hospital coordinators to build their quality system? Well, let's try to say that in an easiest way. You see, here we have four domains. We have the external area, where we have the construct of external pressure. So there is something happen outside the hospital. There is something happen at hospital level, and here we have hospital governance. Of course, the quality systems that we have in the hospital. Then we have hospital culture, professional engagement, and patient empowerment at hospital level. This is what we have at hospital level. Then something happened in the department, hopefully. You go to the department and you find quality strategies and quality activities at departmental level. So something happens in the departmental level. They have guidelines, they have patient safety. So these type of things are embedded on the quality of the departmental level. Here in the departmental level also we have the culture of the professionals, the attitudes and the behaviors of the professionals, and patient empowerment, the way that patients are related with the departmental management. And this has to do with patient involvement, perceived patient safety, what patients perceive about safety, and clinical effectiveness, the indicators of managing clinical care in four conditions: acute myocardial infarction, stroke, hip fracture, and the lupus. This is the not easy framework of the project. You will see it many times during this morning, so perhaps you will get used to that, but just to give the idea that we have four areas, external area, hospital level areas with the quality management system, departmentals with departmental quality systems, and then the clinical area, the patient area, where we have the findings of the clinical care and their perceived care and involvement. Well, the design, it's a cross-sectional study, it's a cut we made in a almost 200 hospitals in Europe. The data was collected, you will see, at hospital, departments, professional and patient levels. And we have different measures we have been using. We use questionnaires, charge review, almost 10,000, visits to hospitals, audits and observations, and then we analyze the routine data that the hospital provide to us. That makes an overall of 25 constructs that I presented before, and we measure all of them in a different way. The countries that were involved in the field test is the one you have here. We have the map. We have the fortune that our friends from Turkey decided to join this project. That made us also to get a wider overview of the situation. So it was extremely interesting. And these are the countries that have been working in the field test. For each country, we selected randomly 30 hospitals. The issue is that it's not so random at the end, because in some countries there was not almost refusals, like in the Czech Republic, in Spain. In other countries it became very difficult to recruit the number of hospitals expected for different reasons. So you cannot consider these data as being significant for the countries because the sample size, and because at the end the recruitment system was not the same. The recruitment was the same, but the answer of the recruitment was not the same in the different countries. We recruit hospitals over 130 beds, having the fourth conditions. So if you don't have, you don't take care of a stroke, or you don't have deliveries in your hospital, you are not part of this study. Monographic hospitals are not part of the study. And then, from these 30, we select 12, also randomly, to make a more in-depth study. And this in-depth study, I will immediately tell you what does it mean. As I mentioned, for the 30 hospitals, we got surveys to professionals, and that was the CEO, the medical director, the highest level nurse director, the presenter, the president of the board of trustees, the quality coordinator, and the professional leaders of the hospitals, and we use administrative data. Professional leaders are doctors and nurses that have management responsibilities in the department. Could be a head of the ward or head of the department, etc. And then in the 12 hospitals, we also perform surveys to the professionals in each department, chart review, 35 per condition, surveys to patients, 30 per condition, and a visit to be able to see, like an OB, if some of the measures we were discussing were in fact there. Things like, are medication closed in the wards, or are there hand hygiene promoters in the wards, is something that has been collected for somebody that has been there to look at. So all the measures I mentioned, there are more than 25 measures, had been back and forth translated, piloted, had the database preparation, then we go to the data collection and the cleaning process, and then aggregated and transferred for the analysis. Here you see that in the non-in-depth hospitals, we had 25 questionnaires per hospital. In the in-depth hospital, we have 371. Here there are some of the hospital's coordinators that made this possible and had made it possible to go, arrive to the professionals, encourage them to answer, and make the review of the medical records, so they make also tremendous work that we thank from here. So, what we got, or what we expected to get, here you see the number of hospitals we were able to recruit. We recruit almost 30 hospitals per each country, except in Germany and in England, where the recruitment process was extremely complex for different reasons. In some countries, they are conducting a lot of quality surveys at the same time, so it's very difficult to recruit the number of hospitals willing to participate. In other, the ethical consent is very difficult. So it took some time, or a lot of time. At the end, we ended with 192 hospitals, which was 80% of what we expected. In these hospitals, we got, as we say, almost 10,000 professional questionnaires, 6,500 patient questionnaires answered by the patients, no possibilities of being answered by the family in this project. 9,000 chart review, and we visit 74 hospitals. That means 4 units in each hospital of these 74. We have visiting the 4 units that we were studying, and we have the routine data for 182 hospitals. At the end, 25,000, almost 800 different sources of data. You will see the analysis later on. I'm not going to go in detail on that. Just to let you know that the analysis had some main analysis in what is called the sensitivity analysis. Our colleagues in UCLA will present today some examples of the sensitivity analysis. So what in the main analysis, what we did is to reliability and validity analysis, and then the multivariable non-hierarchical analysis of association. This is what I will be presented, or we will be presented today, except for the end of the day, that you will have a sensation, an idea of how the other analysis look like. But we promise that we will keep that in a way that can be understood for everybody. So, as you see, we had a great challenge. We are very happy to be able to collect this data. We are extremely grateful for all that make this possible, and we're, I would say, a little bit proud to present after 3 years what for us at the beginning seemed very difficult to achieve. So I would just thank everybody for making this possible, and looking forward you will be interested in the main results we are going to present. Thank you.